All right, let's take a national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, and Jake. Jen, roll Nick.
There we go.
Yeah, I knew that. I don't know.
I think I put it on.
Yeah,
I think
I put Jen anymore.
It's Friday.
I did put Jen on there. And thank you to the nameless texter that said, Sammy, don't forget to change the jersey. It worked.
And I did. Because I did phone forget. Reminder.
Yeah.
I gotta put and it with on. That comes a very good trade for the Calgary Flames. And we're going to join Ryan Leslie in a few seconds here. But just to reiterate, a lot of talk about some big names and Rantanen, we certainly know, sucked a lot of energy or oxygen off that big trade. But lo and behold, the Calgary Flames. I don't know if anyone saw this coming.
Farabee, Frost, Kuzmenko, Pelletier. I mean, this is a significant deal and makes a statement about what the Flames are going
to
do.
And here to talk about it, Ryan Leslie, NHL host on Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. Always does a great job covering the Calgary Flames for us. Ryan, thanks for joining us, man. How are you? Where are you?
I'm great. Thanks
and
for
where
having
are you?
Me, guys. Sorry, I apologize.
Costco?
My daughter's volleyball tournament. And I thought there'd be nothing worse than taking you into a gymnasium of screaming volleyball players. So sorry about the backdrop, but it's great to be with you guys.
Did we win our first couple of matches or...
It's the opening match, boys. I could take the whole audience in if you want to take a quick peek, but a bit of a rating spike.
Well, maybe that still might be the case, but before that, we got to talk about this big trade and who really saw it coming and just the overall feeling waking up this morning thinking that a team that maybe we didn't take too seriously as a playoff team is all of a sudden now a little deeper.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Kipper. I don't think many people saw it. We certainly didn't. But full marks to Craig Conroy, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, who, as you guys and probably a lot of your audience knows, when he took over for Brad Treliving, he had a lot of work to do. Craig did. So did Brad. But Craig had a lot of work to do, and he had a lot of free agents that he had to deal with. Well, he's dealt with that, and... Now he has found that this year, this room is as cohesive. I can tell you this, guys, is a locker room that I've been ever around in Calgary. They love each other. They love playing for one another. They want to be here. So Craig kind of quickly dealt with the guys who didn't want to be here, and he got guys that did. So long story short, he came in, and he kind of got this thing where internally they believed they were better than us outside experts believed that the Flames would be this season. So he knew they knew that they were better than this. And there's some veteran guys in there. There's some Stanley Cup champions in there. There's some young guys that Craig said, you're going to have a chance to play here. He's lived up to his end of the bargain. So too of those young players. So opportunity. So the culture's changing, right? They got a new coach the last couple of years and Ryan Huska. And the way he has these guys prepared, the way that they play for one another, It's really great to see. So as it kind of comes into focus for the sake of this conversation with this trade, nobody saw it really coming, but it was a reward that Craig felt he had to give this group because they have worked so hard to stay in this conversation of a wild card / playoff position. So full marks to any team that does that, especially when us experts say no chance. And here we are now, end of January, going into February, and they are hanging around. They're in the mix. So he had to go out and give him a little help. And you guys have been on enough teams. You know what kind of shot in the arm that can give you. Certainly very difficult to say goodbye to those two players for that locker room. You know, Jacob Pelletier was incredibly emotional yesterday. Pulled out of the lineup and very emotional about this. And we can get into it. But that was certainly a surprise to everyone, including him, including us. We could start to put some of the pieces together during the broadcast. And, you know, nothing was official until after the game. So we see Morgan Frost pulled out. We see how it all kind of comes to fruition. And it made for great TV. And it certainly was an emotional night inside that Flames room. Most importantly, it's a team that got back in the winning track. So pretty interesting night all around.
yeah, it's fascinating from a Flames team that felt like this was a retool year or whatever the phrase you want to use. They've been good, and adding these two guys, does it change their plans, their trajectory, their long-term outlook at all?
You know, it's a good question because everybody seems to have a different approach or opinion as to what the Calgary Flames are or where they are.
Okay.
So if you were to talk to Ryan Huska, Craig Conroy, and their ownership group, they'd tell you, no, we're here to win. All right, it's us on the outside who are like, they're retooling, they're rebuilding. They said goodbye to all those free agents that we talked about a moment ago. But Ryan Huska's coaching for his job. Craig Conroy's GMing for his job. And ownership, they want to win. And they've got a new rink coming up in 3 years where the doors are open. And it takes time to get a good team in place that you need to have, I think, for when you open a new building. So to answer your question, I mean, I don't know what... You know, we all thought that they weren't going to be good. They're a pretty good team that loves playing for one another. They're not retooling. They're kind of showing you that they're in the hunt. This isn't a burn it down to the studs. Like maybe there was a lot of talk of that earlier. So this does put them in a position where they've added players in their age range that they like. And going not only today, but going forward. Remember, Jacob Pelche, God love him. He cleared waivers. He went down. Any team could have had him. Kuzmenko was out of lineup for what felt like an eternity. Probably was waiver bound. They both loved their time in Calgary. They both wanted to remain Flames. That's not a secret. But Craig Conroy had to make this deal, and he did make a good deal for today and for going forward. For whatever the direction or whatever the label is, he got players that are bigger in key positions that are in that 24, 25 age range. So it works for where they are now and for where they want to be.
You're watching and listening to Ryan Leslie, NHL host of Sportsnet, covering the Calgary Flames and Hockey Night in Canada, talking about the big Calgary trade. And let's start with Morgan Frost here, a guy that, you know, at times has probably been looked upon to add more to the Philadelphia Flyers at this point of his career, but seems to be a guy like Craig Conroy, really, really targeted. Where is his upside? Where do you see Ryan Huska now starting him? Can he develop into a bona fide, you know, number one or number two centerman on a contending team?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. You guys probably see a lot more of him than I do, given the conference. But I will say that... that Craig has a real belief in both these players, both first-round picks from a few years back. And, you know, in terms of slotting, they feel that both kind of, you know, maybe, I don't know, they're not, I don't know if they're a first-line guy yet, Nick. I don't know if that's the case. You know, they're pretty happy with what they have in terms of that natural slotting in those positions. But certainly, you know, there's an opportunity there. There's nothing set here. You know, there's so much tinkering with what Huska has to do because every given, there's no cushion. So they're going to try and get these guys acclimated. They're going to get them into where they think they fit properly and with who. That's going to take a little time. And I think that's the key to why this deal was so important now versus the trade deadline. Get out ahead of it. Give these guys more time to figure out not only their, you know, who plays with who, but get these guys comfortable, get them feeling right about it, and then develop some chemistry with some guys. There's some pairings here, guys, in Calgary that really work. And that wasn't always the case from day one to where we are now. You could look at Jonathan Huberdeau and Nazem Kadri, who have really found something the last couple of months. Didn't start out that way. This is their second go around. And now they're both having fantastic seasons, and Huberto's on pace to his best season as a Flame. So, and that's important. That's really important. And then you could talk about Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman, who are a fixture, and now they've got Coronado in there. So you start to try to figure out where those two new faces will fit. We're going to find out. They're both in the lineup tomorrow night. The Flames are bringing them in, and they're going to be in against Detroit, and they've got a back-to-back with Seattle on Sunday night. So it's thrown right into the fire, and we're going to see what opportunity presents itself and what those guys go out and take. Because the one thing you got to say about Calgary right now, there's positions or ice time, we'll say, up for grabs, and they can go out and take it if they decide to dig in and be the players that I think Craig hopes they are and thinks they are.
Ryan, with the salary cap going up, hopefully there's less concern about every nickel you're given a player, but Farabee does make a good amount of money. Do you think the Flames will continue to spend along with the cap or spend more of the cap as it goes up here and as they get towards their new building?
I do. I really do. And they have traditionally and historically, guys, been to the cap spenders. They have no problem with that. Murray Edwards and company of the ownership group are serious about a contender and a winner, and they have always done that. Now, right now, it hasn't made a lot of sense, right? You said goodbye to so many faces, six or seven free agents off the top of my head, and now you've got some dough, as everybody knows, in Calgary. Craig wants to spend it, but he wants to spend it wisely. Did a guy like Mikko Rantanen, did Craig fancy a guy like Mikko Rantanen? You're darn right. Does he fancy some of the big name free agents that I'm sure you guys have talked about? Yes, he does. So this is just a sort of a holding pattern to get various ducks in a row to where he then can go big game and big name hunting in the near future. I don't think Craig's done. I just think the timing right now, he got what he wanted for this. And now I think you've still got some time if your team then gives you more indication that they're ready. And it'll be fascinating to see what we get from today to the trade deadline, to the draft, and to the fall. Because Craig does not, he's one of the more competitive guys I know. It doesn't matter if it's darts or if it's the National Hockey League. He wants to win. And you guys know a handful or more of guys just like that. You've had teammates that would just try to skin you at every game. So, So it's one of those things where, hopefully you got me here. There we go.
You're good. You're good.
Just one of those things where he's not, you got to strike that balance of for your job and for the immediate future and for down the road. And I think Craig's really committed to that. So yeah, I think Flames fans are excited to see, and you heard him say right in the availability last night, or maybe you heard it today, but just the idea that he can't walk around. People are like, does your phone even work, Connie? Like, get going here. Let's go. People have been patient. I'm not suggesting these two players put them over the top, but certainly they're in a better position today, and he had to do what he had to do for this group.
Well, there's no doubt that they're deeper, and I'm sure a guy like Rasmus Anderson's looking at the added depth. Yeah. And, like, you know, between his play this season and making us laugh against a guy like Tom Wilson, like, he's not – Ryan, he's not going anywhere, is he? He's – when the time's right, they're gonna lock this guy in.
Craig would love to lock him in, and I think Rasmus would love to be locked in. But here we are; he's got another year after this one, so everybody's trying to pump the brakes on that. They've certainly had conversations; they've certainly joked about it with one another. It's a great relationship between the two. So at this point, there's no sense of worry or concern. The calendar's a thing. Certainly the cap going up is going to be a thing that certainly works. Why would he sign, or why would that conversation get too heated right now until you know what you're fully dealing with? And, you know, he and Mackenzie Weegar, are key pieces on that blue line. And don't forget Kevin Ball, injured, but he came over in the Markstrom trade for those who probably, remember this. This guy's a big body who's really impressed people. I mean, really impressed people. This is a stay-at-home defenseman, big boy, big stick, really allows Rasmus Anderson to be the Rasmus Anderson of old, offensive, and that snarl and that edge is back. I loved, I was between the benches when he and Tom Wilson were going at it.
Oh,
it was unreal.
Yeah.
It was unreal. God, Tom Wilson is just a national treasure, isn't he? And Rasmus is, you know, legendary for the Chirps. So he's a big part of the identity. He's a big part of that room and that culture. I would suggest to you that that deal would get done. It's about timing right now.
So earlier in the year, we were trading Kadri back to the Leafs. That doesn't seem like that's happening.
Yeah, I heard the Leafs. I heard Colorado, you know, all these things. Full marks to Nazem Kadri, guys. His maturity, his play, his leadership, his willingness to you know, he's never said no to anything their communications department has asked and put for. This guy just approaches and attacks each day like a real pro. And it was, you'll recall, guys, it did not get off the right way in Calgary when he and Huberto came here. And it's taken some time, but he has always put his best foot forward. So I don't know, especially with the way it's going right now, that leadership, it's so important inside that Calgary room. I have no doubt there's teams that covet him. Right now, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They really like him. He really likes it here. I guess if you have your hair blown back by something, you think about it. But I don't think he's a player that Craig is thinking about in terms of, you know, movement. So that would surprise me. But stranger things have happened. We didn't see this one coming, but that would be a major shock to the system. But he's been a really good fit, a really good leader. You know, it took some time for him to probably get his bearings with a new team that was originally thought to be going in a different direction in terms of, boy, you've got all these guys after the Tkachuk deal and everything's happening. And it didn't go that way. So it's taken some time to dig in and dig out, and they're doing it as pros. So we'll see how that one goes. But no, he feels like a Calgary Flame for now and for the near future.
Ryan, I got to ask you about Dustin Wolf. And I know that the hype was there even waiting for him in terms of being the greatest goaltender that's out there that isn't currently in the NHL. But you still never know, right? And I'm just looking off the top of my head and thinking about the goaltenders that Calgary Flames have been blessed with, either, you know, Vernon or Kiprusoff. But like, Wolf's like sliding right in there now, isn't he?
He is. I'm with you, right? Because he's not the biggest goalie at all. And I had my doubts. He was a late draft pick. He did it all, as we all have heard, in the Western Hockey League. He did everything and could play every single night in the American Hockey League. It didn't matter if it was back-to-backs and the second game was at 2 o'clock. It wouldn't matter. This kid, I wasn't so sure until this year, guys, and he's made a believer out of me. I just didn't think, you know, he was going to see through traffic. I really, as simple as that sounds, and maybe a caveman of me, I just didn't see it there. And you know what? His anticipation, his speed, his ability to read things, and his ability to mentally just lock it down after something doesn't go his way, really impressive. And now he's got the workload under him. Now he's got he's always had the confidence, but now he's got National Hockey League confidence. And you know what, guys? He's made believers out of his teammates, and that took time, too. Mm-hmm. They heard what we all heard, the hype. And you guys have been around players. Okay, who's this hero coming in to save the day? But he has made them. Mackenzie Weegar told me, look, there was a time about 5-6 games into this season where he made a couple of cross-crease saves. Couldn't remember the game, but he said, we're on the back of the bus. A lot of the veterans going, we got something here. And he said, he's the single reason why we are where we are in the standings. Without him, they'd be lost. They have faith in Dan Vladar, for sure. He's just not coming out on the right side of it in terms of wins, losses, or some of the numbers. They've loved both of their goalies' plays, but there's no doubt that Dustin Wolf, another redhead, isn't that wild when you think about Mika Kiprusoff? Mm. But you've got a young, smaller goalie who has captivated this city's imagination. And, well, Mike Vernon as well, a smaller ginger as well. So they've had these goalies, and everybody's kind of hoping this ride continues to last because he has been brilliant.
He has, and our goalie guru, Steve Valiquette, says he's the real deal and going to be around for a while. So that's how I know it's legit. Last one, just a quick one from me. What do you think the rest of Andrei Kuzmenko's career looks like?
Ooh, good question. I have no idea how it goes going forward in Philly because, 39 goal scoring in Vancouver, showed flashes of brilliance here, and then it was just almost a refusal to shoot at times. Yeah. So he was a healthy scratch. He was injured. He was, you know, he's a charismatic, skilled young hockey player who lights up a room sometimes and can light up the ice on other nights. But putting it all together has been a real challenge. We'll see how it works in Philly with Michkov and company.
No. Let me rephrase this, okay? What is Tortorella going to do with this guy?
Tortorella, what did you do?
What did you get me, Danny? Yeah. What did you bring me?
Trying to run towards out of town.
Yeah, this. Yeah, that's. I'd be fascinated right now to turn on the old Flyers or Philly sports stations, but
I can't wait.
But hopefully, and hopefully for Jacob Pelche's case, you know, he put out some strong statements too about how much he loved this city, how much he loved the guys inside that room. They took him for a few beers last night, both of them, just to say goodbye, and now a new chapter. But it was certainly emotional for Jacob Pelche yesterday. You know, and the one thing I'll leave you guys with is that he said today your thoughts are with Chris Snow, right, who passed away from ALS, who was Chris Snow made Jacob Pelche the Flames pick that year. It was his pick to make, and Brad True Living was on board with it. And so certainly that was part of his emotions last night and certainly today. So part of sports, right? Professional sports, or this happens. It's not new. It's not going to stop happening anytime soon. But for a young player, it hit him hard. And those players are wishing him all the best in the new chapter.
With that, a wonderful tribute to Chris Snow and his memory and the family as well. Great job, Ryan. Really appreciate your time, pal, and giving us some real insight into this big trade with the Calgary Flames, Philadelphia Flyers. All right, pal, have a good one, okay? Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Ryan Leslie.
Outside the volleyball tournament.
He's great too.
I was just looking today. It's funny, we're talking with the Flames. 15 years ago today, the Calgary Flames traded Dion Phaneuf to the Leafs.
Is that right?
15 years ago today.
Big trade time.
Feels old. That's crazy. And Mike Vernon, he mentioned Mike Vernon there. Mm-hmm. Last summer, I went on with our good buddy George Russick out in Calgary to talk about the Masters. And he's like, oh, welcome to the show, Sam McKee from the golf show or whatever. He's like, Sam, say hello to Hall of Famer Mike Vernon. I was like, what? And then Mike Vernon started interviewing me about golf. He's like, what's happening? I was like, yeah, you know Vernon. I'm like, just trying to be his buddy. That was great. That was great. Yes, there you go. Good old Russick. He's listening.
That's right up there with, I threw out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium after we won the cup.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
Yeah, that's just being very exactly the same thing.
Don Mattingly asking me if he can get my autograph to sign a Ranger cap.
Yeah.
I'm what is wrong with this picture? The guy's like 400 batter. He's won titles. He's the captain of the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
This is embarrassing.
That's very cool.
I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Do you guys want to do game time? Because we got Frank coming up after the break, so we should all get this out of the way here. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Looking at a couple futures things again. I love looking at the future stuff. All the regular season awards are, you know, they're kind of, not, I wouldn't say boring, but the numbers aren't as good as, or as long as you would expect. And the thing that breaks my heart the most, and I bring it up here again, is the Leon Draisaitl for Hart number.
We had him as the Hart winner when he was plus 2,500.
I think I even brought it up at 28.
Yeah.
It is now plus 160. He is the odds on favorite to win the Hart trophy.
With you guys? You guys are better at this than me.
I'm an
Why
idiot.
Why wouldn't you just
drop 20 just, on it?
Come on.
So the other two guys that are closest to Draisaitl is Nathan MacKinnon at plus 300. Connor Hellebuyck at plus 350, Connor McDavid at plus 600, and Quinn Hughes all the way down at plus 1,100. So
there's your current value bet.
I don't think, you know, it's hard for, go ahead.
Can Connor get up there with Leon coming down, or is it just like,
right,
they
move up and down together.
Yeah, exactly.
And
it's tough to make up ground on your line mate.
Tough to make up ground on your line mate if, you know, your line mate doesn't kind of continue a bit of a pace here.
Yeah.
And the Norris number.
I know they've been on separate lines.
Yes. The Norris number here is, just lost it here. It's Quinn Hughes is the favorite, minus 130. Cale Makar is plus 210. Zach Werenski plus 340. And then the next closest is Josh Morrissey at 200-1. So they're pretty confident.
Werenski's leading
confident.
The NHL in time on ice.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously having a huge year.
And Leon Draisaitl, obviously a huge favorite for the Rocket Richard. The next closest is of your Toronto Maple Leafs is William Nylander at +900 and Leon Draisaitl is -360. So, I mean, he's got how many goal lead does he have right now? It'd be tough for anybody to catch him, but what
quiz
are you gonna say?
For you. Who do you think is second in the NHL per game behind the current leader, Zach Werenski? Time on ice per game.
This behind?
Yeah. Who's in second?
Quinn Hughes.
Great guess.
Mo Sider.
Also good.
He played 30 minutes the other
night. I know. A new addition to the game. Drew Doughty in at number two, playing an average of 25 and a half minutes per night.
I love it.
Through two
and
games.
They've yet to score a goal in those games.
Yeah,
and the last thing to bring up quickly, Calder. Macklin Celebrini is the favorite at -160. Lane Hutson is the next closest at +180. Dustin Wolf, who we just talked about there with Ryan Leslie, +700. So those are your three favorites for the Calder Trophy. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right.
Okay, let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get into some NHL news and notes. Also, Frank Saravelli's been kind enough to drop by just to give us a little bit more in-depth of what a rising salary cap means to maybe some unrestricted free agents.
Do we get paid more?
Mitch Marner, I mean, Rantanen, Sam Bennett, signs first?
The Rantanen one, it's like if the cap's going $113 million.
Yeah, you guys, you couldn't have pwned it up and...
Maybe should have paid him.
All right. We'll find out during the commercial break. You run upstairs into the office today. It's the rising NHL salary cap. What does that mean?
Is there any extra room for us?
Us on the Real Kipper and Bourne
I assume
show.
That's what's been keeping us down.
Back after these words on Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. All right. Waiting in the wings to explain it all to us, Frank Saravelli, Hockey Insider, President of Hockey Content, Daily Faceoff. Welcome in, Frank. How are you, buddy?
Doing pretty good, guys. How you doing?
Good. Okay, let's start with something that I don't think I've ever seen since the inception of the salary cap, and that's such a long projection of what the salary cap would be for the next 3 years. And a very significant jump is what we saw from 95.5 to 104 to the 27-28 season of 113.5. So before we get into more specifics, just your overall thought of these numbers and the fact that they're really showing us their cards in the third year. Were you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised because this has been a change in the system based on how it works. So if you remember back, you know, each year we'd have to wait until June to find out what the cap number would be for the following season. And the reason for that is the system was designed so that you basically took next year's revenue projection and produced a salary cap number based off of that. That's why it seemed to fluctuate so much. In this case, with the pandemic and the memorandum of understanding that existed after that, they said, well, let's slow things down. And instead of projecting what next year's salary cap will be based on projected revenue, what we're going to do is back things up a little bit. And they instituted what's called a two-year lag formula. And that's essentially what we're seeing here, which is why you're able to then project out a few years in advance, because essentially what you're basing the cap number on 3 years from now is what revenue looks in present day as opposed to a guess. So that provides a lot of stability and certainty for teams moving forward and allows them to get out in front of this, and also allows the league to really confidently, in conjunction with the Players Association, project what escrow withholding is going to be, so to provide some certainty there as well. So essentially what we've done is taken the system and slowed it down and delayed it a couple years to provide more certainty, which I think in the end helps everyone.
Frank, I know hockey fans want people like me to stop nerding it up with all the data.
Ain't gonna happen.
What does this tangibly mean for hockey fans? How will this change the way players are signed and moved around?
it's just provides increased flexibility and spending options for a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's breathing room that they haven't had for a long time. I mean, think about the way they did business heading into the pandemic. No one saw a pandemic coming. Had the cap continued to increase at, you know, an average of a 5% clip, I don't know that we're sweating over the contract signed for Austin Matthews and William Nylander and go down the list, Mitch Marner, the rest of the team. But things came to a screeching halt and they've had to adjust. I don't know that any team in the league has been, you know, probably more damaged by the pandemic and the resulting business on the cap than the Leafs. So they've had to adjust and figure things out. And what it means moving forward is you're going to see players get paid massive sums of money. That's the new reality. It's a great time to be a free agent. It's a great time to be a player that's going to be hitting the market over these next few years. Because as mentioned with the system as it's designed, look, this year's $88 million cap is based on a $5.4 billion revenue system. Well, that was a few years ago. Right now, this year's projected revenue is $6.7 billion. As this continues to increase, projected hit $7 billion and beyond, you're going to see this cap climb, you know, pretty significantly, as we've seen in the numbers demonstrated today. So it's a great spot to be if you're an NHL player. I think the bigger question mark for fans, and not necessarily from a team excitement and building standpoint, is how are some of these teams going to be able to afford these massive increases in the salary cap? That's what really needs to be determined, because that part hasn't been figured out
yet. All right. Then let me just pull in the number one complaint from our boy Sammy here, is that the Leafs are a top team. They're a top draw. They're one of the biggest revenue teams in the league. Throw in the Rangers and a couple of big markets elsewhere. And then they've got to go down to the level of these bottom feeders. And now we're in a situation where the Leafs can't even compete, or other clubs in Canada can't compete, because the state tax is so much better down there. But now, hey, the salary cap's going up, and we can afford to maybe offset those tax-saving dollars that you have. Maybe it's a better playing field now for us again. That's the balance.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really fair point to make and balance to try and strike. The Leafs had been in a spot, for example, and the Montreal Canadiens, where the playing field was leveled significantly around them because there was purely a limit to what they could spend. Now, as that increases and teams are going to have to ask real budgetary questions, teams like Calgary and Winnipeg and Ottawa and others, that I just don't know that going from $88 million to a span of 3 years from now, $113.5 million, you convert that to Canadian dollars, you're spending based on today's rate, $163+ million in salary if you're capping out. How could those teams possibly raise ticket prices enough between now and then over these next 3 years to be able to justify that increased spend? I mean, what you're looking at is a salary cap floor. The minimum of what you must spend in a 3-year period of time is going to be increasing to basically what the cap is now. And you're seeing teams like Calgary, $18 million under the cap this year. I'm telling you, this is a significant difference in economic reality that I know the NHL has been concerned about. And it's going to be real interesting to see how this next CBA negotiation is handled, because everything from revenue sharing on down probably needs to change to help benefit some of these teams in the Canadian landscape and even teams in the South, in the U.S. Yeah, you might have a no state income tax advantage right now, but guess what? You're charging a lot less for tickets than they are somewhere else. So you're going to have to find a way to increase your revenue as well, which means everyone's praying for some major international TV dollars to come up in these next new deals, because that, or adding a couple new teams to the mix, there's only so many ways you can meaningfully increase revenue across the board to the point where you're not whacking fans in the wallet.
JB, it's a simple answer. We just go back to an original six league.
Is that it? Six? We could do eight.
Eight? Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to A-Frame.
So, you know, we had Mr. Bettman on the show a week or two ago, and I asked him about the state tax thing. And, you know, is there any possibility of the league eventually looking at a salary cap that's pre-tax in some way to level the playing field? You know, he was skeptical that was affecting decisions players were making, but I had people tell me that, you know, more than ever now with the flat cap, that's one of the things players were factoring in. Do you think that some of these economic realities will be addressed in the next CBA?
I do not. For one, I did see the clip, and I think he also mentioned the idea that if you have a really good accountant, wink, wink, that you can make up or level out some of the playing field. And two, I do think that, you know, Mike Greer, San Jose Sharks GM, he was asked about it this week, and he said, one of the big differences is a lot of the teams that are no state income tax teams also just happen to be in really strong competitive winning cycles.
Mm-hmm.
That players go where they have a chance to win. And it just happens to be that in these competitive cycles, it was the Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning. For a period of time, the Nashville Predators were really good. Obviously, the Vegas Golden Knights have been outstanding. Same thing with the Dallas Stars.
Right.
But rewind back to the last 10 to 15 years. Who were some of the most competitive teams in the league? The Los Angeles Kings, the Chicago Blackhawks, the New York Rangers, all teams in heavily taxed metropolitan areas.
Flyers.
The Flyers forever, the Toronto Maple Leafs, all these teams that have been ultra popular, Montreal Canadiens, destinations for players. I truly believe part of that is cyclical, and part of it is there's ways around the tax code that a lot of these teams have found a way to level out. And then you're going to get some really other creative options like the Anaheim Ducks. I don't think a lot of teams have talked about the contract or have delved into the contract that was signed by Frank Vetrano, but they think the deferred solution is potentially one way around this no state income tax advantage that some other teams have. I think that's far-fetched because I think you'd have to get players to buy into that. But point being, there are workarounds.
Frank, the general feeling up until now with some of these UFAs, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you may have been one of them to say, many are waiting to see what the salary cap is and what kind of number they're dealing with. Well, guess what? We know. We found out even 3 years from now. So what does that mean for the hottest names right now around UFA between Rantanen and Marner and Sam Bennett and Brock Besser? And what are you hearing? Well, who goes first?
They're all getting traded to Carolina.
Who signs?
Look, there's cases today that are a lot stronger than they were 48 hours ago before that memo went out. And I'm sure that there's a twinge of regret in the Colorado Avalanche front office, because I think as much as there was talk about the salary cap increasing in such a meaningful way, and by the way, I also think that there's a chance in speaking to league and NHLPA sources today that the numbers that were presented today might actually be on the low end. I think there's a chance that we're players and teams are actually in for a surprise in a positive direction, with those numbers potentially even growing a little bit more by the time the summer hits. So I think there's some surprise, certainly from the handful of NHL GMs that I talked to today. They were blown away by how big some of these numbers are, and they feel like, you know, for once now, they don't have to sweat. Their collar isn't so tight trying to get some of these players signed. And there's a whole other group of GMs around the league that are thinking, holy smokes, I've got a lot of spending to do just to be able to get to a level where the floor is 3 years from now. We're talking, you know, some teams are going to have to spend $60, $80 million plus based on what they have on the books now, that we're going to see some spending in ways that we haven't before. And so if you're Mikko Rantanen, if you're Mitch Marner, if you're Connor McDavid, Quinn Hughes even is up in the third year of this projected number that's been out there now, you're licking your lips because you're going to be well set up for life.
There's a couple of middle-class guys who are feeling pretty good about things too, I would imagine. Did I hear this?
Return of the middle class is what we're going to see.
That's right.
We had seen guys in that $5-7 million range. They've been getting squeezed hard the last few summers.
Funny, the Leafs have been $11 million guys in me, you know, just like whatever they could grab, basically.
That's what Vegas has done. That's essentially what Florida has done. All those guys in the middle ground have been getting crushed, and now they're going to cash in.
Did I hear you say something about international TV deal?
Well, just meaning both sides of the border.
Okay.
You've got the Canadian rights. Obviously, Rogers is in their exclusive negotiating window now. And then at some point, if that deal isn't signed exclusively, you've got Amazon that could pop in. Mm-hmm. And then in the U.S., it's only a couple years before this ESPN and Turner deal is up that it's not long. It's going to be sometime within this projected range of cap years that you're going to see deals on both sides of the border come up for renewal.
Well, more money, more money.
Yeah.
More problems for Canada.
You got to find a way if your teams to lessen the burden and impact of ticket sales on the overall revenue pie. That's what your hope is.
I heard that Gary's wish list might be up towards $1 billion a year on a new television deal.
But would love to see it.
Right. Hey, you got to start somewhere, right? Yeah. In the negotiations. Where else do we want to go? We got one more for Frank, or you got anything?
Frank? I'm all good. I'm asked out on the salary cap.
Any updates on Vancouver? Kind of cooled down a little bit with JT Miller?
Yeah, I think what this three-game winning streak has done is just turn the temperature down a little bit. I don't think it's changed the urgency or the need to ultimately address the problem. But what it's done is taken a little bit of the panic out of, you know, having to make a move today. And I think everyone's on the same page in what the process should be. They're trying to find the best deal possible, starting with JT Miller. I do not think it's out of the realm of possibility that both of those guys end up getting moved. Doesn't necessarily have to be in season. I could certainly see a world in which JT Miller is moved this year, and then in the summer, before the no trade clause kicks in for Pettersson, that you make that happen. But they've been in a spot where teams have been circling, trying to make lowball offers, and I don't think they have any interest in that. It's just that everyone knows that there's an eventuality here that must be processed.
Frank, great stuff with the latest on the salary cap. Really appreciate your time on this Friday, man. Thanks for doing this.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Okay, you too. Frank Saravelli, president of Hockey Content, Daily Faceoff.
Money, 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 money.
So, money. Just...
I'm saying that.
The overall health of 32 teams, mm-hmm. right? So in 3 years, $113 million.
Mm-hmm. Salary floor of 80-some.
No, if it goes 113, then the floor is like 90. It's almost $100 million.
Frank tweeted.
Right?
I think I got it on the lineup there.
Yeah. What's the floor?
I got it on the lineup here. Yeah. So upper limit. In 25, 26 is 95, lower limit 70.6, 26, 27, upper limit 104, lower 76.9, 2028, upper 113.5, lower 83.9 million.
So 83.9 million is almost the cap now.
It's crazy.
So to get, it's awesome. It's still at the end of the day, it's still a ticket driven.
That was a
league.
Good point by Frank. That it's a too big of a piece of the pie compared to other pro sports leagues.
For sure. So for teams to hit anywhere near that 113 in 3 years, you have to sell $2.6 million worth of tickets every game.
Here's my
question.
Here's my question.
Who's doing that in the league?
Well, the Leafs.
One.
Rangers.
Two.
We're not going through the league.
Montreal.
Like this.
Three.
What do you do, Sam? There's 32 teams. How long are we going to sit here until you get to 19?
You're going
to
start slowing down halfway through.
Yeah, okay. I'm done. That's all I could get to. Utah.
It's going to be very tough for teams in 3 years to come close to 113 salary cap.
These salary caps are based on current revenues. Like, it's a leg formula, it's multiple years, it's whatever. The league must be currently taking in enough money to justify that. To me, you don't then wouldn't have to increase ticket sales to get to numbers we're already showing that we're at. Like, it doesn't feel like you need to sell more to get to what they're projecting based on what we currently have.
I don't know how it splits.
A thought knot?
I'm not sure how it splits, mm-hmm. but I just think, it'll be tough for some teams to get to those numbers. I don't know. Maybe it's already there. Like, to your point, maybe it's already there and they can just draw from it too. Right. But I think you still got to go out and sell. Why do we hear that there's some teams, and I don't know how necessarily it works with balancing whatever revenue sharing that they have, but mm-hmm. we still hear that some teams are losing $20 or $30 million a year.
Yeah, that's a little perplexing for me too, because you know the income is shared based on all the TV packages, right?
And every
national
not
package. Okay, not regional.
Local,
yeah,
not regional. That's your money.
But the league has done very well by that. And it does feel
it's okay. It's not even near to the U.S.
But like the overall revenue of the league is up significantly, right? It's up to, what do you say, 6.7 billion from 5.4 or whatever it was very recently. So I don't know. It feels like the league's very healthy. And if you're a team that can't keep up as it keeps going in that direction, is it like a bush that sometimes you have to prune off the unhealthy branches so the stronger ones can grow more? I don't know.
Put a couple more jersey ads on if you want.
Well, maybe that's the type of stuff though, Sam, that's a viable option.
Start looking like the...
And I don't like it, but that's the stuff they'll do.
And start looking like Sparta Prague out there.
They're going to sell the crease.
Yeah.
They're going to sell, yeah.
And Frank made up the point of a Canadian dollar right now to match a 113 U.S. salary cap.
You think that's getting better anytime soon?
What number did he give? About 160?
Yeah, 163.
163 Canadian.
Yeah.
To max out in year three.
I will say, as the dollar gets worse, that has to be of more appeal to American to players to come play here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can live, get paid in the U.S. and live in Canada. You would think they would come out
significantly ahead. I think it's going the opposite. I think Americans do not want to come up here and live.
Don't touch our dollar.
And I don't think their families are interested in cross-bordering if they can avoid it.
I do think it's a limitation. I don't think that's new necessarily, but...
Can I just...
Well, the pandemic really pissed them off.
Can I touch on something that Frank said there, that the thing about Rantanen that really jumped out to me? Do you really think they wouldn't have any indication of this?
No, because I had an indication.
But like that... Like
they definitely did.
That's what I mean. So, you know, he said that they regret it. But would they regret it because they didn't know the two big numbers, like over 100 million? But they had to have known those were coming.
Been, you know, like we knew it was going up to 96, 97.
Because
you
just mentioned
been living on another planet if you didn't know that the cap next year should be 100. Listen, it's not 100 million next year. They've stuffed it on purpose. It should be 100 and 204 now.
Yeah.
And so
Colorado would have known that they definitely would have had the money.
Yes.
So they chose not to keep him.
They chose not to keep him.
Is that potentially the first indication of an internal cap for a team?
I mean, okay. But like, to me, it's a greater statement about the player. I'm just wondering.
I'm just asking a question. I'm still trying to figure out why the hell they traded Mikko Rantanen.
You can make up a number and say that's our cap.
You can say anything you want until... Okay. Kale McCarr goes, no, thank you.
You go, oh.
No, just treat me like Rantanen.
Yeah.
Not like, I didn't mean for under McKinnon. I meant for the team, what they're willing to spend in terms of like
team budget.
Like if they have a budget that they're going to hit.
Yeah.
I think half the league's going to have that.
They're going to have it, but Colorado's, you know, paying Rantanen an extra mill or two wouldn't have threatened that.
Yeah. Anyways.
All right.
Good week, boys.
Like usual, we've solved nothing. We've learned nothing.
Well, we learned that we're at least going to spend a lot of money. That's good.
Yeah.
The rest of Canada loves that.
Our thanks to Ryan Leslie and Frank Saravelli. While Doug McClain's in Vegas.
At the Sphere.
Who's he hanging out with?
Tonight.
He's with his wife.
No, he went to go see a concert. Shania Twain, I think.
Yeah, but he's with Jill.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he dumped Jill to go out with Shania.
All right.
Have a great weekend, everybody.